Hello, and welcome to another episode of the SIRS Group podcast. I am Barbara.
And I'm JC.
And today we are covering the oh so fun topic that anyone who is in mid-SIRS treatment will know so well, which is the supplement and medication timing strategies. It's a fun one. But of course, as always, we are not doctors, this is not medical advice. We are not medical professionals, but we are patients that have read the textbook. We've had the experience of the SIRS and the treatment of said SIRS. And so we are relaying our experience as well as the experience of our members in the SIRS group.
Yeah, and this is a topic that comes up a lot in the group. It comes up in posts, it comes up in group calls. And I completely agree. It's a weird thing to figure out at first, and especially when you're like at your most surzy, it's like having to figure out the timings and stuff is really difficult. And it's not until you really get into a routine and get into treatment and you're resolving the neuroinflammation and some of that brain fog starts to be relieved that you feel like you're in the swing of things. But at first, it feels like, oh my gosh, I have morning supplements and evening supplements. Some of them need to be taken with or without food. The binders have to be taken 30 minutes to an hour before food, but they have to be spaced away from all of my other supplements. How do I fit this in a 24-hour day?
Yeah, it is really a lot. And your doctor should work with you on creating a plan, or maybe if you're working with a health coach or a nutritionist, there should be somebody on your team that's helping you kind of math it all out and figure it all out. But hopefully some of the tips that we shared today can help you math your own timings as well. Because yeah, the tricky thing is the freaking binders. The binders really ruin everything. They make everything great in SIRS land, but they ruin everything when it comes to taking your medications and supplements because they're so, like, I don't know what word I'm looking for there.
High maintenance. They're high maintenance.
Maintenance. Thank you.
Yeah,
That's it.
because they require 2 hours in between their own doses, right? So that they require 2 hours between themselves, between binder dose one and binder dose two and binder dose three. And then it also requires 2 hours distance between supplements. So for the binders, you want to make sure you're taking them 2 hours away from taking any other supplement or any other binder. And then you also want to make sure that you're taking them a half hour to an hour before you eat your meal.
And that does mean that if you are, so for the two different binders that are the two prescribed binders for SIRS, Wellcall, you at full dose, you're only taking it 3 times a day. So it's a little bit easier to deal with. With cholestyramine or CSM, you're actually taking it 4 times a day at full dose. So that does mean that you basically have to eat something 4 times a day. And for some people, that's hard. For me, not a problem. I already eat 4 times a day, but for some people that can pose a challenge because that's eating the moment you wake up and maybe even right before you go to sleep, just to get the timings right, and also to make sure that you are eating at least a little bit of fat after taking your dose of binder.
And I think the recommendation is 12 grams of fat, right?
I've heard like 7 to 9 actually.
Oh, okay.
So it's not too bad. I think I was able to do a couple ounces of like smoked salmon. Like I would end up doing like a snack basically for at least one of those 4 meals. Something, or a few strips of bacon, something, or I don't know, I guess I could have examples forever. Some cheese. There's a lot of things that you could just snack on that will fulfill that requirement. But yeah, aim for somewhere around 10 ounces, let's say, of fat, somewhere in
Ten
that.
grams. Ten
Yeah.
grams.
Thank you.
People are they're like nomming on a stick of butter.
Oh Lord, yeah, you don't need, I mean you can do that, but you don't need to. But yeah.
I feel
Thank you
like
for
you
that
can
correction.
definitely tell that I am team 4 meals a day because I had no idea what the fat requirement was. I was just like, I'm gonna eat an entire meal.
Yeah. Right. And I support that for sure. Yeah, that's yeah, you gotta stay fueled, properly fueled while you heal from SIRS, that's for sure.
So another complication, if you're on thyroid meds, typically you have to wait 3 hours before and after taking them to take anything else. So that's like another confounding factor. Definitely check with your own like thyroid medication requirements, but we've typically heard the 3 hour distance between thyroid medications and binders or any other supplements. And then most people have like morning supplements and then evening supplements. I know I do. I have stuff I want to take in the morning, like iodine, B vitamins, all of the stuff that's going to like give me pep and energy. And then I have my evening supplements, which is more of like magnesium and N-acetylcysteine, kind of more of those like slow, like sleepy time supplements. So some people will have that kind of split too. Maybe it'd be helpful to talk about like our days of
Sure.
supplement taking. So I wake up ridiculously early. So you would just scale what I'm going to say for the time that you wake up if you want to use my dosages as an example. I also was on well call, so I was on 3 binder doses a day. So I would wake up at 5 a.m. and immediately take my morning supplements. And then around 7 a.m. is when I would take my first binder dose. 7:30 a.m. is when I would eat my breakfast, and then I would wait 2 hours. So 9:30, I would then have my second dose of well call, and then I would eat my quote unquote lunch, we'll call it meal two, at 10 o'clock, and then I would wait 2 hours till noon, take my third binder dose, and then 12:30, I would have my third meal of the day, and then I wouldn't take my evening supplements until like 6 or 7 o'clock at night. Now, the reason I did that, like I had them so close together, is I also like to leverage intermittent fasting as a part of the spike protein protocol that I've been doing for the long COVID symptoms that I had. So that personally was what worked for me, was to just kind of squash everything to earlier in the day. But obviously, that 2 hour window, you can make it longer. It doesn't have to be 2 hours. It could be 3 or 4, whatever times work best for you in your daily schedule.
As will be illustrated in my day, which looks completely different. And I will remind the audience that I also am dealing with ADHD, which absolutely makes all of this like medication timing even more fun, in that it's already hard for me to remember. Again, Sir's brain too, but then the ADHD part is really hard for me to keep structure within the medication and the timing. So mine is a little more fast and loose. What usually ends up happening is I wake up and I take binders right away. And then I will try to like walk the dog or do something to keep myself occupied so I don't eat too soon. But sometimes I'm just really hungry and I start cooking and eating right away. So that's the first part. I wait a little bit after the first meal, but not necessarily a full 2 hours before I take my ADHD medication. And I tested this out, and at least for me, anecdotally, it did not, the binders being too close to the ADHD medication did not seem to inhibit the ADHD medication. But don't, talk to your doctor before you try doing something like that. Again, my ADHD isn't so severe that I needed it to be absolutely perfect. I wanted to try it out one time to see if I could mess with that. It seemed to be okay. So that's usually how I start my morning, and then that's around 8 or 9 in the morning, and then I'll eat again whenever I think to eat again, and that can vary based on my schedule. Again, my attention and my focus can be all different places, but when I do remember to eat the second meal, I'll take the binders and then usually try to do something to prevent me from eating the meal too soon, but sometimes that doesn't happen, and I am starving by the time I've realized anything has, by the time I realize where I'm at in the day. And so I start to eat right after that. So you get the picture here. And then for supplements, I do try to throw them in somewhere between meals. But there are definitely days where I completely forget all of my supplements and I end up eating them, or eating them, I guess that is what I'm doing, taking them basically right before bed. Like even the DHEA, which is again one of those like ones that you want to take in the morning. And I, some days I'm better at this than others. But I guess I hope what you take out of my wonderful schedule of medications and supplements is that maybe you don't need to be absolutely perfect, but I would probably encourage you to be a little bit closer to perfect than I am.
Yeah, I mean, this is a good time to bring up the topic of it's a scale, right? It's not binary. Like either you take it perfectly or it doesn't work at all. It is definitely there are shades of gray there. There are more ideal ways to take it, and there are less ideal ways to take it. But at the end of the day, the important thing is that you're consistently taking the binders. You want to make sure, and we did a whole episode about binders, which you should definitely check out. But we talk about this concept of every time you take the binders, it's like shaking a jar of glitter, being the biotoxins, and that gives your body the or the binder the chance to grab it and help you eliminate it. So the more times you shake the jar, and ideally you're spacing it away from the supplements so that the binders don't bind to the supplements versus the biotoxin. That's what's going to make it more ideal. And then the further away from that that you get, you know, the proper spacing and dosage, it's going to be less ideal, but it's not going to be ineffective. But you are possibly trading off healing time, right? Like it might take you longer to heal if you're not doing it in the more ideal way.
Exactly. Yeah, don't let that moment, and because I think I did fall victim to this at one point. If I'm starving and my food is actually cooked and ready to be eaten, and I think, oh my God, I didn't take the binders. In my situation, I would still take them. Even though I'm literally about to eat food, I would still take the binders because it's going to do something, and that's better than nothing. So exactly to your point, don't let perfect be the enemy of good. If you got to do what you got to do in that moment, do it. And then hopefully next time you're a little bit better and at some point it'll stick the right way.
So a couple of strategies, one that I used and one that I heard someone share that I really liked, to be sure that I'm taking the dosages at the right time, is typically after I take the first dose of the day, I'll start setting timers on my phone. So for example, if I took my morning supplements, then I would say, you know, hey, what's her face? Set a timer for 2 hours. And then that would remind me to, you know, take my next binder dose. Another thing you can do is if you are more like me and you have a more regimented schedule, you could just have them be like built-in reminders on your phone so that you don't even have to set the timer every day. And then another strategy I saw, which I really liked, was there was someone in our group who shared that they have sticky notes on their computer. And as they take each dose, they move the sticky note from one side of their computer to the other so that they can keep track and remember that they took those doses. Especially when you're very early on in your service treatment, like the brain fog is really real. So either what I have, and I can show it here for the people who are watching on YouTube, is I have these pill containers. So I had three going when I was on binders consistently. So I have my morning supplements, my evening supplements, and then I also had the binders in their own separate thing. And I did that, and it's helpful because now I can see like, oh, I forgot my Monday. Oh, I forgot my Tuesday. And then if you notice you're consistently missing days from your pill containers, then you can start implementing other strategies to help you remember to take them.
Yeah, that is perfect. And again, if anyone's struggling with ADHD on top of the brain fog, those things are amazing to do. And as you were talking, I remember what I did in the very beginning. I would write down all of the things that I needed to take, and I would cross them off like a to-do list. So it's another version of what you just showed. Do whatever feels right to you. I use planners and I had them near where I took all my supplements. So it was like an easy thing for me to do. But find that easy way of reminding yourself. I love, the idea of timers and alarms and and like reminders, putting it on your calendar actually. And you can do that every day at this time and repeat it. So you're just putting in the work once, and then the system will remind you going forward. So all of those techniques are fantastic.
Another couple of tips for actually taking the supplements and taking the binders while we're here, while we're talking about it. If you're taking phosphatidylcholine, which we haven't actually talked about this in a while, so people might not know how much you hate it. So do you want to tell people about how much you hate it?
It's so gross, guys. No, it was probably really important for me to take, and I just couldn't handle the texture. It was a little thick. So, but for those of you who are not giant babies, it's a good phospholipid replacement situation to get into. Please go continue.
The reason why I was bugging Barbara about sharing why like how awful it is because we found that one thing that was really helpful was keeping it in the fridge. Because when it's in the fridge, it firms up, so it's less gooey and kind of more waxy, I would say. If you're listening to this on the podcast, I'm just going to encourage you to go to YouTube so you can see Barbara's face right now. So if you keep it in the fridge, it goes from more of like a goo state to a waxy state, which is marginally better. And then because the fat is actually more solidified because it's in a more solid state, it doesn't, your taste buds aren't as affected. So if you're very sensitive to the taste, it can help with that too.
And if you're neurodivergent like me and the sensory thing is real, man, yes, just do the best you can. There are pill forms of it. So if you can take pills, they're giant. I will warn you about that. They're mass. I don't know why they have to be so big. Just make them smaller, guys. But the pill form is very, very big, but it saved me because then I didn't have to deal with the goo. So
The goo.
so yeah, with CSM or cholestyramine, in case you guys don't know, it is in powder form. Speaking of grossness, this one does not have a pleasant taste, and it can like also leave a residue on your teeth, so you have to brush your teeth right afterwards. Really great time to make sure you have an extra toothbrush, like maybe at the kitchen sink, for example, just so that you get in the habit of, wherever you plan to take your CSM, if it's in the kitchen, for example, have a toothbrush handy that you can brush your teeth right after taking it. Please don't skip out on that step. I did, and I had to do a really thorough deep cleaning with the dentist a few months later. So please actually follow those rules, but or recommendations. But while you're taking them, the instructions are just to put it in some water, like mix it around, and just like take it like a shot. The problem with CSM powder is it doesn't dissolve. So it's literally like putting sand into water, like very smooth sand into water, and then trying to like gulp that down. It really gets left behind. Again, why it causes issues for dental stuff. But what one member did was put it in something like prune juice and pick the juice of your choice. Yes, I know most of our viewers and listeners are carnivore, but hear me out. Little bit of juice, just a little bit, just to mask the flavor. And then you get one of those like $10 milk frothers.
Like an electric whisk.
Yes, and like, thank you. That's perfect. So they're like 10 bucks on Amazon. I'll link one, no affiliate link, but I'll link one in the show notes in case anyone doesn't know what I'm talking about. But they would use that to mix up the powder into the juice, and all that movement will kind of make the powder fully saturate the liquid that you've put it in, and then take it quickly after that, and it will go down so much more easily. So I thought that was a really helpful tip. I actually tried it at that member's house because she was telling me about it and showing me as she was putting it together. And I tried some of her CSM just because, like, yeah, I want to see how that is. And I honestly couldn't taste it. I was really impressed by that method. So there you go. Hopefully that's helpful.
I love how you went to someone's house and they're like, here's a Sirs cocktail.
It's a great dinner party trick, guys. I mean, make sure you have those ready for your guests.
If you invite me, definitely do.
Yeah.
But as you can tell, the theme of this episode has really been, you're not alone if you're struggling with this. And there are a lot of people who have found really creative solutions to managing this aspect of SIRS. And it is something you have to manage. I just want to validate that for anyone who's like, I feel like this is, I'm being dumb for being frustrated by this. But no, like, this is dumb. You should be frustrated.
Yep.
But if you are looking for more resources and support, you can always join us over at thesirsgroup.com.
Yep. See you there.